Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Chris Appolito asked about a MAGA hat. Yeah.
Hmm. What about a Kale and Company Speedo?
I like the idea of the WPHT... like boxer shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Dawn.
No.
I don't know if you've peaked at our finances, but we don't really have the budget for anything like that.
I was going over the balance sheet last night myself.
So we'll just do what we can.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe if somebody wants to donate. But I think especially the YouTube people here who like to bust his stones, I think you guys should show up there and kind of cheer him on, because he doesn't have to do this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he's doing it.
You're being a good sport.
He's a man of his word.
He's a man of his word. I like that. I like that. For all you people that were like, he's a good guy. Yeah. I told you that for months.
That's right. They're all part of the audience, right? Yeah, it might be 85-90%, but you know.
Shafe said cover him in mustard.
Well, I mean, mustard.
This is a cruel audience, man.
I know.
Ouch.
They really are.
So we're not going to use our always sober cameraman, Chris Forsyth?
Chris is going to be there videotaping it for himself to put out a documentary.
Well, Polymarket has him at minus 500 being inebriated while he's filming. So that'll be good.
So we'll do that Monday morning, 8:30, Art Museum steps. He's going to run up it in some sort of paraphernalia.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
Be
very
there.
Cool. Yes, indeed. All right. 7:05. Let's get to the news around. By the way, speaking of news, Zeoli on at 5:30 this morning on Fox and Friends first. I thought he hated mornings.
I was just going to say, I was told he just can't do mornings.
Apparently, okay. We start at 5:30 a.m. now.
For the network that doesn't pay him, he'll get up. Got it. I got it.
Well, I would get up for Carly Shimkus, too, to be honest.
Okay.
It's just me.
Married. You're married.
What? All right. I'm just going to be quiet and get out of the way. A, because I don't want to get divorced, and B, because I don't want to fall behind with the clock.
They put on 1210?
Still have Philadelphia talk radio host, which is my pet peeve.
So he absolutely did no good being on there.
Yeah,
so thank you.
I
appreciate
it.
Why are they so against using like our numbers?
Great.
I mean, if you have, I think sometimes they put WPHT, which is all I guess you can ask for. If you go call letters, I'm good with that. But what's so hard about talk radio, 1210, WPHT?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Right?
Nothing.
And then when they show Zeoli with the camera, when they put him in a box, if it's full screen or half screen, then you put Philadelphia, where his location, and then the word live. Or technically it would be, New Jersey, right? Because he's doing it from home. But, like, why... talk radio hosts or Philadelphia radio hosts. Well, there's 42 radio stations in this city, dude.
Yeah.
I don't even know if the guy's a dude or not. He might be a lady and putting up the graphics. Come on, ma'am. What are we doing here? All right.
Might be a lady.
Might be a lady. All right, let's get one thing we know for sure. Dawn Stensland is a lady, a classy lady.
Thank you.
And it's time for the news at 7:06.
This morning, good morning, Tuesday, November 12th, 51 degrees, breezy today. So markedly cooler weather today with the wind whipping up and still those red flag alerts as far as the risk of fire with dry conditions. So let's look at it. We have a 22-year-old man, the latest shooting victim in Philadelphia, shot in the head in critical condition, very critical condition this morning. This is Philadelphia's Tacony section. They did recover a weapon, but we have no arrests and no motive, no suspects as the investigation is active in that one. We have newly released surveillance images. This one happening as Philadelphia police and suburban police look for this driver of an SUV who struck and killed a woman after she left a Taco Bell near Conshohocken State Road. And so this one is a hit and run on City Ave, which, as you know, used to be known as City Line Avenue there in Bella Cynwyd. In other words, it straddles Philadelphia and the main line right there in Bella Cynwyd. So in this one, the victim was struck so hard, she was sitting in her wheelchair, that she was physically ejected from her wheelchair and flew along the roadside and was killed. The folded wheelchair could be still seen there on the sidewalk. So we know that she's in her early 60s. They've not released her identity, but they have released these surveillance images of this driver. So police saying to this hit and run driver, we're going to track you down. We're going to find you. You might as well turn yourself in. You know who you are. So they're asking that for that person, just turn themselves in this morning. In the suburbs, and I'll take you to Bucks County. We've been talking about police there urging people to get some kind of a camera system because of all of these different porch pirates, these different individuals who continue to steal packages, these package thefts. And it's happening at a rate that, in essence, they have somebody pull up in a car and get out of the car. They know what to wear. They have a hat. They make sure that they're covered up. Even if the person does have the video, they'll get away. But as far as this goes, it's happening at an increased rate.
Mm-hmm. I've also seen people using COVID masks when they do it, right? You see some of those videos that go viral on social media. Who knew that, you know, mask mandates would lead to more ideas and more ways for those bad individuals to conceal their identity?
Yeah, it's it just seems like it's supersized. So the problem here is, we're headed now toward the holiday season,
yep,
holiday shopping. So I think one of the reasons that we're seeing suburban police, especially in Philadelphia police, talking about it more is to give people a heads up, because it's tough to fight this.
Mm-hmm.
And they're taking things, they're taking packages that might not be valuable to them anyway.
Right, of course not.
So they need to, I mean, I guess we all need to figure this out.
I'd love to catch somebody doing that on my property. I'll just hide out in my bushes and wait for the Amazon guy and see if anybody swipes anything. Hey, where are you going with that, pal? What's up? Get going. Get out of here.
Well, that's the problem. If you confront somebody, you're not allowed. I mean, even if you had like a paintball gun, if you shoot them, you're probably going to get sued.
Oh, yeah. In this day and age. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's right.
So how do you know, dog? Dog helps.
That's right. Beware of dog.
Have a trained, you know, yeah. Yep. We have Verizon customers. We still complaining about that widespread internet outage. It happened across our region and much of the Mid-Atlantic region down to D.C. More than 10,000 people impacted right here in the Philadelphia region. So if you had that happen to you with Verizon, the outages started about midnight, continued till nearly 3:45 a.m.-ish this morning. We still don't have the answer. Was it the high winds? Because the winds were whipping overnight. I don't have the answers for you, so we're trying to get down to what happened, but it looks like they've resolved most of those outages. And we've talked a lot about the Trump transition, and the latest one, I think the latest one this morning, is it Kristi Noem, Governor Kristi Noem, I mm-hmm. believe she's the latest. So another word being floated, it would be the Treasury Secretary. What does that look like as far as that's another critical position, because mm-hmm. it has to do with Trump talking about those tariffs.
Yeah, I'm really focused also on, because we had to live through all this lawfare the last 2-3 years. I'm very curious to see who he selects for attorney general. I know Ken Paxton has been floated out there. People were wondering if DeSantis would be interested. I think DeSantis said, I will not be a part of any of it. I'll finish out my term as governor in Florida. But that's somebody I want to, I'm very intrigued to see who he selects.
Yeah, and I'm sure that part of this is you have to be careful because you don't want to raid too many people in existing important positions.
True.
Or you have to look at if they're when is their term up and mm-hmm. if they can do an appointment.
And this is also the person that will replace Merrick Garland. That's the other, you know, fascinating element behind
this. Weaponization of government.
That's right, because we've seen what Merrick Garland has done in the last couple of years.
Yeah, so one of the, I was trying to look through here with Paulson. John Paulson was at that, remember that economics seminar that Trump held?
In Chicago.
But yeah, but Paulson, billionaire investor, he was the one who had said that, he was the one who said that if Harris won, that this would be devastating for our economy.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that I had read somewhere that John Paulson is a major contender for Treasury Secretary.
Okay.
But all of this weaves together, and that's another part of it. Are these individuals all, a lot of them have been going to Mar-a-Lago, and I think they're just trying to see how everybody interacts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You don't want too many beta fish.
No, that's right.
Right?
That's
so
correct.
There's that going on. The other story I wanted to point out to you, because this has gone viral, as I believe we touched on it a little bit yesterday when we talked about the fact that Oprah Winfrey reportedly had been paid $1 million by the Harris campaign. Well, now
yep.
Oprah breaking her silence and saying, in fact, that it's not true.
Sean, can you pull up cut eight? Sean, can you pull up cut eight? Because I think we have the video of this.
Yep.
She denies it.
She denies.
According to federal records, Harris made two lump sum payments of $500,000 apiece.
All right, play it, Sean.
Hey, Oprah, good morning. How are you, darling? You're looking very good. How do you think the election went?
Not talking about the election. Thank you very much.
Oh, is it true that they paid you $1 million for the endorsement for Kamala?
Not true.
Not true, okay.
I was paid nothing, ever.
What do you think about all the celebrities with their mass exodus?
I'm not talking about
that. Do you think Prince Harry's going to lose his visa now that Trump's president?
Gets in a Range Rover. I'm gone.
Thank you, Oprah.
Thank you, Oprah.
Thank you, Oprah. Thank you. And by the way, some of the dollar amounts are just staggering when we talk about those donations.
Yeah.
So you had, by the way, I think Oprah, you could argue, probably got shortchanged when you hear some of these other figures. I'm going to give you these really quickly. Megan Thee Stallion, The Stallion.
The Stallion.
The Stallion.
Yeah, I forgot the extra
Thank
E.
You. Thank you.
$5 million to basically twerk on stage. Lizzo got $3
million. Wow.
Eminem, $1.8 million. And Oprah, $1 million.
So now we know why Beyonce never sang. She never got paid.
That's right. The Queen Bee was like, you're going to give Oprah $1 million and you want me to do this pro bono? I don't think so.
So, yeah, I mean, in total, the Harris campaign reportedly spending $1.2 billion.
Uh-huh.
And so this is, you know, all these records are public.
Yeah. It just goes to show you, too, celebrity endorsements don't work. And it doesn't matter how much money you spend on a campaign. If you're unlikable, that doesn't change anything. She just was unlikable.
I suspect that what's going on here with Oprah is that Oprah is saying that she personally did not charge a talent fee. But because remember, they were trying to reenact Oprah from back in the days. Right from her show, so they probably paid, I don't know, the studio, or they paid the production company.
That's correct. The report I saw, it was two $500,000 payments to Oprah Productions, Inc. I believe is the official.
So
company
that
name.
Pays the studio hands, the camera people, because they're
mm-hmm.
all union.
Mm-hmm.
So that pays all of them. But I suspect what Oprah, he should have asked the question: did the campaign pay your studio, your production company, or your studio crew?
Yeah. Splitting hairs, I guess.
But she's saying, personally, they didn't write a check to Oprah.
Right.
It just covered her
right.
overhead, essentially.
Okay. Well, but she still doesn't have to
studio
pay for that.
Rental.
She doesn't have to pay for that overhead now. So it's still a net gain for her, right? I mean, I would think.
I don't know. It's amazing, though, to think about, or not amazing, we're not surprised, but to think about the fact that the Harris campaign, they spent over $1 billion, mm-hmm. and now they're like in the hole.
Oh, they're in, yeah, to the tune of, according to reports, of $20 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
I don't know.
So they can't even. They have all this money just flowing in.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty simple process. They couldn't even. They couldn't even handle that.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Kamala's spending her Saturday nights sitting on the carpet playing Connect Four with her nieces and nephews.
Well, that's sweet.
Yeah.
We have 51 degrees, quite breezy, up to 30-mile-an-hour wind gust today. And so the high today, 56 degrees for your all-time high. It's not going to feel like 56 with that wind, but at least sunny skies today and tomorrow. So mid-50-ish and sunny skies. The headline, though, the important piece of this, tonight and tomorrow night, Wednesday night, you're looking at 34-ish degrees. So make sure that you watch that if you've done some planting outside this time of year. And then for your Thursday, mostly cloudy, 52 degrees. The overnight lows, though, get a little warmer. So it's just the over the next two nights that we could see, depending on where you are, some freezing temps overnight. But if Thursday is the only chance I see in the 10-day where we could see some light precipitation. So Thursday looks kind of raw, rainy, cloudy, cooler. And then for your Friday, we start to warm up again. 58 degrees, partly sunny skies. The weekend, bright sunny skies. And we're in the low 60s for your weekend. Kale and Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Coming up next, let's break it down, shall we? The end of identity politics and all the absurd wokeness and the cancel culture. And it's coming from those with big platforms on big stages. On the left, details on the other side, cut sheet in just over 25 minutes. Kale and Company, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sports book. Joel Embiid is back tonight to take on the New York Knicks. Right now, FanDuel is giving everyone 3 months of NBA League Pass. All you have to do is catch every tip-off and buzzer beater in his place. Place a $5 bet on the NBA to get 3 months of NBA League Pass, courtesy of FanDuel. So tonight I'm going to go the Sixers money line at +102. Joel Embiid to score 10 plus points, and Joel Embiid to score the first basket. Plunk down $5. You could win, if you're already a customer, you can win $37 on that $5 bet. Or if you're a new customer, you can get 3 months of NBA League Pass. All you have to do is sign up. Go to FanDuel.com/Greg, FanDuel.com/Greg, FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of the NBA, and 1210 WPHT. 21 and over, present of PA. After 3 month free trial, the full price of League Pass will be automatically charged monthly. Cancel anytime, no refunds, terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Limit one pass per customer. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
It is officially the end of identity politics, the wokeness, and all of the ridiculous cancel culture, and the things that have driven Americans absolutely bat bleep crazy over the last 4 years. I would argue even beyond the last 4 years, but it was accelerated during the Biden-Harris administration. But I think this is something that started in the beginning of the Trump era. Some people think it goes back as far as somewhere in the beginning of the second Obama term, where a lot of this ridiculous obsession over identity started to permeate the airwaves, society, the way in which politics is covered, the way in which people are promoted in corporations, in the job world, academia. I mean, it really infiltrated every level of American society. And for the most, most of the time, most Americans rejected it. And it was, you know, shoved down your throat. And it was, you know, 10% of society that subscribed to it, yet the other 90% had to adhere to it. And I think Trump officially shattered that. And when you take the House back, or I should say, you keep the House, you take the Senate back, you have a majority on the Supreme Court. And then, of course, corporations start to move on from DEI, classrooms, especially if we can get to the point where Trump's able to defund the Department of Education, that the CRT nonsense, this, well, you're white and you're a man, so you're automatically guilty of whatever, that's going to get thrown out the window. And it's also staggering, if you look back, when Jimmy Carter created the Department of Education in 1979, in America, we were the number one school system in the entire, on the planet. And since then, with all the money put into it, we have plummeted. I don't know where we are, but we have bottomed out in education when you compare ourselves to other nations. So you look at all of that. You look at the cancel culture on social media. You look at all the radical left-wing ideology on these elitist university campuses where free speech is stifled. It's a one-way street on a school of thought of everything under the sun. We can't have discourse, discussion, and debate. It's all coming to an end. And it's not just Trump winning. It is the left admitting it. I want to play you this clip from Morning Joe. Mika Brzezinski.
Do we have to?
We have to. We absolutely have to. If it wasn't for us, where would Morning Joe and Joy Reid and Rachel Maddow, where would they get their audience,
it's
right?
True. By the way, John Stewart last night took a flamethrower to Morning Joe.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Do you have that coming up for the cut sheet?
I can. Yes.
Okay. So now Mika decided to, and this is always riveting, you guys know I will not read an entire column on the radio. I'm not going to sit here and read an entire article. I'll try to sum it up the best I can, and then we'll give our opinion to it. So Maureen Dowd wrote for the New York Times over the weekend an article called Democrats and the Case of Mistaken Identity Politics. And because husband and wife had nothing better to do with to fill their time in a segment on television, they decided to actually read verbatim the entire column on the Morning Joe show. Now, I won't bore you to death with an entire segment of Morning Joe, but I will give you about 2 minutes. This is Mika Brzezinski reading this editorial written on Saturday by Maureen Dowd of the New York Times, basically saying woke has gone broke. Listen and watch this. Sean, this is clip K1, please.
Because we're going to read the entire piece, but it's worth it.
It's
I think
worth
a
it.
Lot of people have already been talking about this. We got a lot of calls about this piece, and it's an interesting message for Democrats. Maureen Dowd's piece for the New York Times entitled Democrats and the Case of Mistaken Identity Politics. It really crystallized how some Democrats are finally waking up and realizing that woke is broke. And Maureen writes this. Donald Trump won a majority of white women and remarkable numbers of black and Latino voters and young men. Democratic insiders thought people would vote for Kamala Harris, even if they didn't like her, to get rid of Trump. But more people ended up voting for Trump, even though many didn't like him, because they liked the Democratic Party less. I've often talked about how my dad stayed up all night on the night Harry Truman was elected because he was so excited. And my brother stayed up all night the first time Trump was elected because he was so excited. And I felt that Democrats would never recover that kind of excitement until they could figure out why they had turned off so many working class voters over the decades and why they had developed such disdain toward their once loyal base. Democratic candidates have often been avatars of elitism. Michael Dukakis, Al Gore, John Kerry, Hillary Clinton, and second term Barack Obama. The party embraced a worldview of hyper-political correctedness, condescension, and cancellation. And it supported diversity statements for job applicants and faculty lounge terminology like Latinx and Black Indigenous People of Color. This alienated half of the country or more. And the chaos and anti-Semitism at many college campuses certainly didn't help. When the woke police came at you, Rahm Emanuel told me, you don't even get your Miranda rights read to you. There were a lot of Democrats barking, people who don't represent anybody, he said, and the leadership of the party was intimidated.
All right, so there you go. I could actually just listen to that clip on loop for the rest of my life because that whole nonsense that we had to live through for 4, 6, 8 years was one of, not the, but one of the driving forces behind me getting into this line of work. And I remember Greg, when I interviewed with you, I told you, you know, Trump supporter, this, that, the other thing. But a lot of this cancel culture, woke, this stuff where it's like, wait a minute, now all of a sudden, you know, remember stories like, you know, if you're a college football fan, the Florida Gators, they do the Gator Chomp.
Yeah.
They tried to cancel that because it was symbolic of when, you know, hundreds of years ago that black babies were fed to alligators. The Masters Golf Tournament is symbolic of racism and they should remove the name of the Masters. Like, are you, you guys have lost your ever-loving minds.
It's funny to me. It's funny to me now that, like, Morning Joe and Maureen Dowd, and I give Maureen Dowd credit a little bit because mm-hmm. she does call out a lot of the nonsense yeah. on both sides. But it's really, like, if Morning Joe and they really want to look in the mirror, like, look at all the people who used to be Democrats. Joe Rogan, mm-hmm. Tulsi Gabbard, mm-hmm. Elon Musk. They all left because of the woke crap.
Yep.
Bill Maher calls it out all the time. He didn't leave. But, like, I think that if anybody but Trump was the candidate, he may have.
Yeah.
So there are people in your own party that are calling it out, that are saying to you, guys, this is a bad direction for this country. Mm-hmm. You're not going to win on this. They're like, ah, we know better. And now, all of a sudden, now that the American people have spoken,
yeah.
they're like, wow, I guess we should have really maybe not done the woke thing.
Yeah.
That probably was a bad idea. Mm-hmm. So,
and it,
sorry.
It just crept into every aspect of your life, right? Like, if you're a parent, Dawn, I'm sure you might have stories at football games or with the kids at school or whatever. Maybe it's not as much in a private school versus a public school. It bled into social media, academia, at colleges, big tech. I mean, across the board, it was just jammed down our throat. And anybody that spoke up against the absurdity or could figure out what was going on behind the scene with motives was like, well, you must be racist or sexist mm-hmm. or this or that. And it's like, no, it's just, you know, whether it's DEI, CRT, cancel culture, on down the list, almost nobody subscribes to the theory, yet we were all forced to believe that this is what the masses wanted. And it never was the case.
Yeah, I just think, Mika, you should just put like a little whip sound in there, put some yeah. black boots up. She's
yeah,
still like, she still is so like terse mm-hmm. in her voice.
Mm-hmm.
And she reads this, she's reading with such anger and animosity.
Yep.
And I noticed that, I mean, Maureen Dowd, obviously she's a great writer. You might not agree with, you know, she's obviously liberal, but she's a fantastic writer. And, but I just think with Mika, I can't help but think to myself how they are right now very upset, personally upset that Trump, who was their friend
mm-hmm.
for a long time, yeah. apparently, who they sucked up to and stayed at Mar-a-Lago together before they were married and married to other people, whatever. But they're just angry.
Yep.
And that's what you see.
Yeah, you're right. And James Carville is even saying the same thing. He said the Democrat Party had become obsessed with identitarianism, a yes. word he uses because he doesn't like the term woke. He said, quote, we could never wash off the stench of it. Adding that, quote, defund the police are the three stupidest words in the English language. He says it's, quote, like when you get smoke on your clothes and you have to wash them again and again. Now people are running away from it like the devil runs away from holy water. That is Democrat strategist James Carville.
Well, he's another one, too, that if you really listen to stuff he said pre-6 months ago,
mm-hmm.
he was the one saying the unpopular thing. Like, we sound like a bunch of whiny babies, and, like, you know, we need to stop listening to the faculty lounge and all of that stuff. He was another one that was calling it out.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't understand how all of a sudden all of these pundits were paid millions of dollars.
Yep.
Millions of dollars. Now come to the conclusion that, oh, by the way, this probably wasn't a way to win an election.
I think there's a difference between guys like Carville that are strategists versus puppets like Mika and Joe. Mika and Joe, keep in mind, they shouldn't be sitting there saying, oh, man, this woke thing, yeah, this, we should have seen this coming a month. No, they kept jamming it down your throat, just like they tried to tell you Joe was just fine, right? Mika and Joe, remember, in March and April and May, were saying, no, this is the best Joe Biden we've ever seen. Joe Biden's not in cognitive decline. And then all of a sudden on June 28th, the day after the debate, Joe and Meeker are like, you know what? He's shot. He's got to go. Like, yeah, no crap.
Yeah.
We've been calling it for 3 years.
And you wonder because, again, they're both smart people. They are. So you have to wonder if a dummy like me, and yes, I'm only throwing myself under the bus, if a dummy like me can realize this, then they certainly did, but they were just lying to you.
Yes, of course.
They were lying
right,
to you.
Because they're collecting a massive paycheck. That's why. 855-839-1210.
I can't with this. I can't with this all of a sudden now. We're like, well,
yeah.
Maybe we should have done this, and maybe we should have done that.
It's the same thing with Stern. Stern, I think, earlier this week or late last week after the election coming out and saying, yeah, looks like white men were the bugaboo for Kamala Harris. White men aren't going to elect a female for president. And to me, like I said last week, I still think there's a little bit of that out there where a man's not going to vote for a woman for president. But for the most part, collectively, the massive amount, it was policy. It was unlikable. It was so many wrongs of the last 4 years. It had very little to do with race or gender. And then Howard Stern's like, yeah, we got a man problem. Yeah, you think? You think? Because the Democrat Party has become like, and I don't think I'm wrong when I say this. Don, if you think I'm wrong, hammer me over the head. It's the party of like a feminist movement. It's like, and CNN had exit polling numbers yesterday. Married men largely voted Trump. Married women largely voted Trump. Single men still voted Trump by a smaller margin. You know what the one group of women, the one group of people out there that voted Kamala Harris over Trump? Single women. It's become the party of feminists and beta males and global and coastal elitists. They don't resonate with the bulk of this country anymore. They lost their way.
You know, I'm going to push back a little bit with you saying it was the policy, because to me, it was evil. It was evil that had crept into this every sense of our government, indoctrination, the education system. It was pure evil, and it was wrong. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, at the end of the day, what I see when I look back and I think, my God, how many of us would just say on a daily basis, I'm just praying. I think so many people just started praying because you felt like in every aspect of your life, you were being canceled out. You were being bullied in some way or judged. And it's almost like like back in the day with the Puritans. I'm surprised they didn't like put a door on us with rocks over it. And you know what I mean? It was just bizarre.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, to me personally, it was evil.
Yep.
And now the good comes.
And here's the thing, too. We realize that the older you get, you end up tending to be and skew more conservative. So Democrats are in deep crap because we already know that the millennial or the Gen Xer will only probably get a little bit more conservative as they get older. And we also know that the Gen Zer, especially right around high school age boys, right, like 18 to 22,
yeah, you know,
they're
what?
Already conservative.
You say that, but the truth is, how many times have we said that these were the most activated were these women? I mean, Greg played some of them.
Right.
Who were like over the age of 65, 70-ish,
yep.
These women who I saw that we talked about, they were like lining the streets in the mornings when you're going to the grocery store on a Saturday or Sunday morning, and they're lining the streets with their abortion signs.
If it didn't happen,
they weren't
this
young.
Time. Well, that's true. But also, if it didn't, to your point, if that didn't turn out this time around in the general for the first time a presidential election post Roe v. Wade, I honestly think we can sit here and say moving forward that, and I'm not saying everybody has accepted it, but I think you've said it before, it's a state's issue now. So I don't know that abortion is enough anymore. If abortion was ever enough to carry the Democrats to victory, it would have happened this time. So think about 4 years from now, the further we get removed from Roe v. Wade, it'll be an issue. It'll always be, you know, for some females, a top five thing, but it's not going to carry the day.
I disagree with that. I think if the economy was better, I think it would have carried the day more.
So you think priorities kicked in?
I think that at the end of the day, people were just the immigration issue and the economy.
Immigration,
I think just completely
trumped everything.
Just completely trumped everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to Greg's point, I will say that the abortion, you know, in the main election that we've just seen, you're going to see something like abortion, that issue, get drowned out because of these bigger issues. However, it's not gone. So now coming up on all the other municipal elections we're going to see, we will see this issue again and again. It's not, the issue is not done with. Nobody should think that. But I just will say this, that this progressivism that we've seen, to me, when you look at what they were trying to do, and unfortunately, it did bleed into Biden, who's a well-known politician. He's been around for a long time. And I think that's why you've seen people like Greg, you were mentioning all of these different Democrats, longtime Democrats that said, whoa, what is going on? This is cray-cray. Yep. This is bizarre. And it was. It was truly bizarre. And to me, that's the lesson learned here. Who was behind this so-called progressive move? It's not progressive. It's just downright darn evil.
Well, and it went further left than progressive, like the traditional progressivism of Bernie Sanders, universal health care for all. This to me, was off the grid left, right? Like, it was even left of progressive.
Yeah, because I don't think Bernie's evil. Like, remember him with his little mittens and his hot tubs that he has to have when he stays at a hotel? Like, I don't think Bernie's evil. No, I don't.
He's just a hypocrite. You know, he hates capitalism but charges $95 for his book.
But also, this was something weird going on.
I'm not taking credit for this. I saw this on Twitter, I think, or X.
Can we stop getting our news from Twitter?
I think it was Will Kane who tweeted back to somebody said the Democrats need to don't need to go on Joe Rogan. They need to find their own Joe Rogan.
That's a good
point.
They
need to find their soul.
And Will Kane tweeted something like, you guys had your own Joe Rogan. His name was Joe Rogan.
That's true.
He was a liberal Democrat.
He was a Bernie guy who
you've turned away. 100%. Yes. 100%.
I think he was a Bernie guy like 6 years ago.
And it's just like, guys, Even a couple days ago, he was interviewing Theo Vaughn, and he was just like, I would have loved to talk to Kamala Harris. I wanted to get to the real person. Mm-hmm. I wanted to talk to her. Like, he was not going to kneecap her.
I think you're right.
He really honestly wanted to speak to her. At the end of the day, it wouldn't have mattered. I really believe it wouldn't have mattered. No. But, you know, like, he was willing to talk to her.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think she was afraid of him being grilling her with questions about the border. But, you know, he has a very casual conversation where he pivots from topic to topic. And then he just kind of randomly blurts things out like, you know, the Epstein list or, you know, he starts going down those rabbit holes. And you just know she's got nothing to offer on those topics. So they don't want to be put in an awkward position where she can't have anything to say. I mean, she can't even talk about the basic issues, much less the juicy, you know, conspiratorial stuff that we love to, you know, go down rabbit holes with.
By the way, I don't want to spend, because, you know, we've done 6 months on this election.
And let's do another six.
I want to be done with it, but I just wanted to give everybody the updated totals on popular vote count. Trump, 78.5 million votes.
It's up. I told you 77 to 78 million would be his number.
Harris, 76.2 million votes. Other, 2.6 million. So that's a total of 157 million votes. Obviously, the total or the record total was in 2020 with 158 million.
Yep.
So it was only about a million off.
Not bad.
For all those people saying it was 15 million off, it wasn't. It was just that it was her that like 10 million people went either with Trump or
sat home. Yep. And now that number is down to, for her, 5 below what Joe was at 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Right. So we can queue up the, where do the other 5 million people go?
What I find interesting, and I'm just looking at some general maps and general numbers, but RFK Jr., even though he wasn't running, still got nearly 700,000 votes. Jill Stein,
oh my God.
Jill, and he basically tied. I mean, Jill Stein got maybe 3/4 of a million votes, but to get together, you know, they got a ton of votes.
Yeah, 2.6 million got other. I mean, that is that's staggering.
So, so that explains why they spent all that money probably too late.
Yep.
But they spent all that money against Jill Stein, especially.
The Trump margin for the popular vote is plus 1.5. So, and Tipping Point had Trump at 2.1.
Okay.
So I think they were pretty they're pretty spot on there.
All right, 7:47. We're late as hell as always. We'll come back and get to the cut sheet. Probably give me, we'll say 7:56. we'll kick this bad boy off. Sean Farish coming up at 8:30. But first, a word from the great folks at the Piazza Auto Group. And now we are talking about the 2025 lineup, and they've been out for a while already. Specifically, the Hyundai Tucson, the brand's most popular SUV. Bold new design with plenty of cargo space, while the standard all-wheel drive and great gas mileage keeps you prepared for any adventure, right? Life is all about adventures, whether it's trip to the shore, maybe you're heading up to the Poconos, heading out to your kid's weekend ball game. The SUV from the Hyundai Tucson Company, oh man, they've got you covered in every facet of life. It also protects you and your family with best-in-class safety. That's right, because you want to make sure that the wife and the kids are safe and secure. Visit Piazza Hyundai of Pottstown, just off of Route 422, or in Westchester on Route 202, online right now. Do it before we get to the cut sheet. You'll be glad you did. PiazzaHyundai.com.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
She was in the store, yeah. Got her food, yeah. and then by all accounts, if that person had just turned themselves in immediately or stopped,
yeah,
you know, even if it was a horrible accident, it would seem, but the longer it goes. And then they did say that when they were looking at all the surveillance imagery,
yeah,
they said it sure appeared that the person in the SUV at some point was captured on surveillance images.
I know.
Down the road, inspecting his vehicle.
We have a speeding problem in this country, too. How many times have you talked about pedestrians being struck by moving vehicles where they're ejected from, you know, whatever. And they remember the lady about a month ago that went 100 and some feet and they couldn't find her?
I know.
It's just, I mean, you don't do that with the speed limit at 35. You don't do that to somebody that's, if you're driving 37 miles an hour, you're probably going 60.
Yeah. Well, you have to, I mean, a couple of things. In this case, it was dark. It was pitch dark. It was in the wee hours of the morning.
Yeah.
And so the wheelchair was crossing over.
Yep.
You know, obviously, the person in the wheelchair thought there's no traffic, mm-hmm. So it was a horrible situation. But yeah.
Oh, well. All right. 7:56. Let's get to it. It's time for a Tuesday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
What's on the Cut Sheet on this Tuesday? Sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo. Right now, lease an all-wheel drive XC90 for as low as $687 per month using all applicable rebates. Say that 10 times fast. See store for details. Relationships really do matter at Cherry Hill Volvo. Check them out at Route 70 in Cherry Hill. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. Applicable. Why can I not say that?
I say applicable. Yeah. Just because it comes out easier for me. I get caught up on applicable. It doesn't flow as well.
Dawn ruling. Applicable or applicable?
I go applicable. I've heard it both ways though.
Using all applicable rebates? No, that's not right.
You could say applicable. I've heard both.
Check them out on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. Jim Kelly, can you grab the stuff off the printer for me, please? If you're listening, hopefully you are.
It's so funny when you say a word over and over, then yeah. It starts sounding weird.
I know.
Yeah.
Applicable rebates. No, it's applicable.
The YouTube channel solve it.
Hey,
for
YouTube
us.
Chat, solve this for us.
Is it applicable or applicable?
Just go to Cherry Hill Volvo.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim Kelly.
And by the way, Sean Farish hears everything perfectly, so I believe we are connected with Farish.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Good. Radio 101. Have to hear everything. All right. Michael Strahan, Giants legend, and is on what? Good Morning America.
Mm-hmm.
He's facing backlash online over the way he stood during the national anthem on Sunday for the NFL on Fox Special Veterans Day broadcast from the San Diego Naval Base. When cameras panned to the Fox crew, each analyst had their hand over their heart, aside from Strahan, who stood with his hands clasped in front of him. Now, I want to ask you guys this, because we're quick to rip people for doing this. We'll watch the video.
Mm-hmm.
Dawn, I want you to watch it as well, Nick. And tell me if this is just, are we making... are we making too much of this? Because social media ripped him for this.
I did see this.
So look, I'm, you know, let's roll it.
Okay.
Lovely rendition, by the way.
Oh, yes. Jimmy Johnson, the rest of the Fox guys, all with their hand on their heart, and you have Strahan with his hands down clasped below his waist.
Yeah.
Now, I will say a couple of things. I wasn't sure what the correct rule of thumb is for this, because I remember for the Pledge of Allegiance in school, we put our hand over our hearts, we stand up, we do the Pledge of Allegiance. I have, whether it was playing high school football, or I just went to my alma mater on Friday night for their district playoff game to see them play, and we all stand, you know, for the national anthem, the high school band plays, and you always take your hat off. I mean, that's
it. Yes.
I've given the story in the past where my old man would whack me in the back of the head when I was a little punk and tell me to take my hat off, whether it's a winter cap because it's freezing out or a ball cap. Now, I have done both. I've put my hand over my heart for the national anthem during football games when I've been in attendance and standing. I've had my hands, if you can see on YouTube, I've had them, you know, kind of behind my back, and I kind of sway along to the song. I've had them down clasped like Strahan. I feel like it's a bit of an overreaction because everybody else next to him has the hand to the heart, but I don't know what the official... official rule is, so to speak.
I mean, he didn't take a knee.
No, right. This is not a Kaepernick situation.
Yeah.
But I do thought that I do think the timing of it is interesting because it's the day before Veterans Day, and it's a 6-person pregame panel with Kurt Menefee, Bradshaw, Howie Long, Gronk, and I think one other person plus Strahan, and he's sticking out like a sore thumb because he's the only one not doing it. So I don't know. I mean, if we have any listeners that say always do hand over heart.
I do want to hear what Dawn has to say, but I'm just going through the YouTube chat. It's a very mixed bag on YouTube right now, and I'm just going to them because they're reacting in real time. Heaven01 says, yes, it's a deliberate move. Patty C says, you'd have to care about Strahan to make this an issue.
Yeah, plus he's a former Giant. I know a lot of Eagle fans were tweeting about it over the weekend.
No Lib says, as a veteran, I have no problem with this.
Okay. Yeah, I would defer to the vets. When you're at the ball game for the boys on a Friday night, do you always go hand over heart?
Yeah, that's the protocol.
That's what I thought it was, but I wasn't sure.
So I think... Okay, normally if he were just Joe Schmo standing like that, you would think, well, you know, he is standing respectfully. He's standing at, you know, like in a very proper way.
Yeah.
But because he's Michael Strahan and you know that you're a famous person and you know that the national anthem is playing, everybody else has their hand over their heart, which is the usual and proper protocol.
Mm-hmm.
So why is he doing that? Does he feel, I mean, it's worth a question to say, do you feel that because of the taking the knee controversy, do you feel like you have to sort of straddle the issue? And that's sad to me if that's true.
I would just flat out ask him, like, did you know that you did? I mean, he could have been just totally, I mean, I don't know. Do you think he knew?
You know, you're standing there for what feels like an eternity. Everybody else has their hand over their heart.
So what do you think the motive is? Is this an anti-Trump being elected sign of protest? I mean, what are we?
I think that the way I read it is that he's conscious of the fact that in particular, some African-Americans, famous African-American players have taken a knee.
Mm-hmm.
He's conscious of that. And so he's trying to straddle the issue.
So he's
standing with respect, but he's not going to go to the extent of the proper protocol to put his hand over his heart. But to be punished, some people have said he should be punished.
God,
no.
Yeah.
No, he's standing respectfully.
Yeah.
I just think that he probably feels like he wants to mitigate any criticism that he's putting his hand over his heart.
I believe he is. I believe he's on social media. I'll look it up as we continue with the cut sheet, see if he's tweeted about it or issued a statement. I'm
He didn't, but okay. But he honored his father, who is a veteran.
Okay.
He says, thank you to all the veterans and active service members who courageously risk their lives to protect us every day. Your selfless service is beyond measure. This is my hero. It is also my father, Maj Gene W. Strahan Sr. Major. That's a bad job by me. I was Maj. Major
Gene.
Yeah, Major Gene W. Strahan Sr. He served for 23 years in the Army and was a proud member of the 82nd Airborne Division.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at the way, so I'm not reading too much into this, but here, Sean, if you can zoom in on my camera here, this is the way his father was standing in this picture with his hands clasped.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he was trying to mimic that. I don't know.
According to the New York Post, Fox Sports has no plans to discipline Strahan for the incident, which is being addressed internally. They say Strahan may address what happened at a later date, but he may decide against doing so because, quote, he doesn't want to give the controversy more life.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, I guess Fox Sports was asked if they would punish him, and mm-hmm. they did put out some kind of a statement that they're not going to, quote unquote, fine him or punish him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the correct thing to do. But it is, I don't know. They're saying that some people are outraged. I'm not outraged.
I mean, social media is outraged, which is
shocking.
Social media is outraged over everything.
But I do think it's just one of those things you go, huh?
Yeah.
Everybody else has their hand over their heart.
Yep.
And at first I looked at it and I said, well, he's holding a microphone, so is it the mic? But everybody else has the microphone
okay.
in their like left hand.
Got it.
And then their heart, their right hand is over their heart. So.
All right.
All right, let me ask you guys this. this was taken from AOC yesterday. At least she's on, she's been on Instagram since the election, and she's asking Trump supporters to come on and tell her like what social media accounts they follow, what podcasts they listen to. It's a whole thing. She's trying to interact with them like they're zoo animals. but let me ask you, Nick, Kale, Dawn Stenslin, this question. Do you think she was taking a shot at Kamala Harris with this statement she made? So this is her explaining the election results. And notice what she says in here, and I wanted to ask you guys if you think this is a veiled shot at Kamala Harris.
Okay.
Play AOC, Sean.
Personally, I don't. I think that a lot of voters really don't like fake people, and they're sick and tired of fake politicians.
Ah.
And so what I actually think is worse is saying something you don't believe. And so if during the entire time in campaign season, you're saying that you're down with trans people or like the LGBT community, and then you lose an election, and then the next day you say all that stuff was wrong. I actually think what people are more upset about is someone was doing something they didn't believe and just saying something. Like, if you actually weren't about that life, why did you campaign as though you were?
So the question in that TikTok is, do you buy that the argument of woke loses elections? And her response to that, obviously you heard there, is no, but we can't have fake politicians. Absolutely a direct, that's a not even veiled, it's a direct shot at Kamala Harris.
That's what I thought too.
And you know, the answer is yes, woke does now lose elections, and it's run its course. It's over. And Kamala really sunk the ship when, you know, she said years ago about funding on taxpayer dollars illegal immigrants in our country that commit crimes, having transgender sex surgeries in prison on Bob Johnson's tax dollar. That's going to lose you an election every time. And also, the, I saw the word there, Latinx was put in there. So you have, and I think it was Mika and Joe were going off like, what the hell does Latinx even mean? Who talks like that? You know, these ridiculous little things that a teacher puts up on their desk that says, my pronouns are she slash hers. What are yours?
Yeah.
Like, that's going to lose. Dudes in women's sports, that's going to lose. Remember the Gallup poll. 79% of Americans are against biological men being in female bathrooms. Yet they were trying to run on this when it was a select minority of people that were on board with it.
Yeah, but so here's the problem I have with even AOC or Mika Brzezinski with her very, I don't know, some people are on social media saying it's kind of sexy, like she's like, oh, you will, you know, I don't know. I know it's hysterical, people's interpretations of all of this.
Yeah, I never put Mika and sexy in the same sentence, but like, it's just me.
You know, with,
I mean,
well, she's,
yeah,
would not.
Women, sure.
She looks like she'd be like,
Mika is very fit. She has I'm just going to come out and say it because I'm a woman. Mika has a rockin' body.
Wow.
I'm just going to tell you that.
Yeah.
She is.
She's saying it.
So she.
Dawn, cover your ears real quick. Greg, AOC or Mika?
No, stop. I'm just saying.
To be honest with you, bro, I think I'm going to do Mika.
These are all very attractive, smart,
honestly,
women. Yeah. So it's all good.
Yes, Dawn, take control.
Don't go down the rabbit hole, people.
Go ahead.
Okay. But so take away from all of those distractions for a moment. It's not about the Vice President Harris. It's not about any of these individuals. If you look at what was normalized, what was really normalized was hatred. And the ironic piece of this, that the signs that say hate has no home here, but they were allowed to hate and discriminate against anybody who was a Trump supporter, was a MAGA mom especially. I'll never forget all the different instances, I finally blocked some people. I don't really like the philosophy of blocking or muting people, but just the hatred, the vitriol, and it was normalized. It was allowed from the top. And even whether Joe Biden personally even realized what was happening during that, it really started for me when I really noticed this during that Philadelphia speech right in front of our own Independence Hall.
Mm-hmm.
With the red lit background,
oh, yeah.
The United States Marines.
Darth Biden.
Yeah, Darth Biden. Like, dun, dun, dun. It was, and I don't even know that Joe Biden reading a speech from a teleprompter, whether he realized all of this.
Right.
But the bottom line is this hatred for people, this was what was being spewed. And then the indoctrination at the school level. And these are public schools, private schools, university schools. We now know all of that money from Qatar was being funneled. That's more than $500 million. All of this ton of money from the Middle East into the schools to promote a certain agenda. And all of this played into what we saw. And so it was this apathy, this lack of empathy for our fellow citizens. That was another thing that was just being spewed, that even nobody wants to have the conversation. Times that on our shows, we try to say, hey, let's have the conversation. Let's open this up. And if somebody wants to call in, no matter what you think, let's have the conversation. What would they do? They would just spew nasty personal attacks. Why? Why? Because that was the agenda of evil. So I'm not saying it's one individual. I'm saying that a lot of people, didn't even fully realize what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what we all have to open our eyes to, that it happened. And so what has that done? Look at the mental health problems within our young people right now. This is serious. At the high school level, they're hiring all of these different counselors, making policies of what to do. It's real with kids. Kids as young as like 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Your daughter's ages, Nick. I mean, this mental health thing is bad. It's nasty. It's pervasive. And this is what we're left with right now. And so that's, to me, the root of this evil that somehow infiltrated into all these different levels. That's what we all need to figure out and say, this is deeper than politics, okay? We can never let this seep into and then have these tentacles that go so far into our government and our institutions. And that's what I think, in part, this Biden administration, Not that, again, I don't think Harris or Biden specifically, personally, wanted to do this.
Yep.
But this evil was allowed to be pervasive within their administration because they were not the true leaders that we need.
What's the old adage? You can't let the inmates run the asylum. And that's kind of what happened.
It's scary to me.
Can we get back to Mika versus AOC?
Absolutely.
Craig's just like,
I don't know.
Sexy.
I'm sitting here. I'm just kidding.
YouTube poll question.
No, do not. It's a joke. Kathy Griffin said that she's actually not leaving the country.
What a shocker.
She never said that. So she never said that she's going to leave the country.
Swore I've heard tape and seen quotes of it, but okay.
By the way, if you're watching this video, oof.
Yeah. No, it's a no for you, sir. No,
well,
stop. But she's not even funny anymore. No. That whole thing where
she never was, Dawn.
No, she never was.
No, she
but
wasn't.
The old
talk
Trump,
about that.
The old Trump head that she was carrying.
She was. She used to be a guest on Stern, and it was just like it was an immediate turn the channel. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because she just was not funny.
But she's not funny, and she's all of these people. Look at all these celebrities. They're angry. They're hateful.
Mental.
They have. I think they all need to do a self check.
Yeah. All right, play Kathy.
Hi, you guys. It's me, Kathy. Okay, so I am responding to a bunch of the comments that I've been getting. Look, sometimes I read the comments. Sometimes my security folks advise me to not read them. Look, I'm not leaving the country. All right. I never said that. I was never one of these celebrities, D-list or otherwise, there's like, and if Trump gets reelected, I'm leaving the country and I'm going here and I'm going to do this. Obviously, I didn't want him to win. But if you guys know my story at all, and if you don't, just Google Kathy Griffin, Donald Trump. You know, I've already tussled with him. I've tussled with him 7 years ago, and I prevailed, and I, you know, just played Carnegie Hall 2 weeks ago, and by the way, literally kissed the stage. There's a big lipstick mark that's still there, probably. And, you know, what's going to happen now, especially with Project 2025, is yet to be seen how much they're going to do of it. But I definitely suggest that you read Project 2025. It's not that difficult of a read at all. It's not a book. But I have had the knock at the door. So don't come at
Somebody's
me and don't be talking to me
door.
About, you know, you should be so scared, Kathy, and I'm sure you're packing your bags.
Oh, my God.
She's unrecognizable.
I know. What is going on there? What is that about? Is that a mental health? Another person that I think has had their brain broken by Donald Trump. You know, it's really amazing. And yes, I believe she has said multiple times, just like Barbara Streisand and these other nut jobs, that they are going to leave the country, which I always say, good, go. Nobody cares if you stay. You don't need to make these proclamations. And we all know you're full of crap anyway. But you know what's interesting? Just to take like a really, really deep dive on why I think Trump has broken the brains of so many people. Because if you look at it's not the policy. So it's his words, it's his presentation. And I think the reason so many people are just mentally rocked by this guy is the fact that he does not do it in the prototypical, stereotypical presidential way. And we were all born and raised and educated that, you know, presidents looked a certain way, they talked a certain way, we always saw them in a suit, and we want to believe what they say, or at least lie to our face and do it like a salesman, you know, like the Gavin Newsom with the slick look. And here comes Trump, and he just takes a whole flamethrower to it. And I'm not going to sit here and tell people what to believe when it comes to religion. I'm religious. Dawn, I know you're religious. Greg, you're not necessarily the most religious person.
No, I'm not religious.
Yes.
You can say it.
I think I just don't want to put words in anybody's mouth.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
But like, it would be the equivalent, and maybe this is a bad analogy, but one day, right, like we are told that, you know, the afterlife is real. And I know there's going to be some people that get hot and bothered, but don't take this the wrong way, because I believe there's an afterlife. But what if there's not? And what if we found out before we died? This is really deep, by the way.
Oh, I'm getting, man, like, what are we doing?
Where am I going here?
My Lord.
I actually do know where I'm going here.
Okay, good.
What if we were told that it was all nonsense, right? Well, it would shatter our belief system because we were told we went to church, we went to Catholic school, we did catechism and the whole thing, right?
Like I did, dead, I did. So you wouldn't. I'm sorry.
You did the whole bit, right? And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, wait a minute, I was told something and it's not true, right? And then all of a sudden, you're like, oh man, my belief system is shattered. Like I thought it was. It's the same thing with Trump with politics. He is such a unicorn, one of one, that these people, the Keith Olbermans, and we can debate whether it's an act and a shtick that these people go nuts over or it's real, like the TikTok meltdowns, right? These women that are losing their ever-loving mind because Donald Trump was elected president. Like, he broke the mold of what you were told a president is supposed to be like, and you can't come to grips with it. But if you just remove your emotion and you look at the it's just common sense. So what I would say, my ask, like Vivek Ramaswamy said yesterday, is for the anti-Trump people out there, just look at his policy for the economy, the border, the wars, and things like that, and ask yourself, is it really that radical? I really don't think it is. Yes, he says a bunch of goofy things at times, but he's a showman. He's an entertainer, right? And I would rather him say what he really thinks, and it be off the cuff, and it might be cringe, and you're like, oh, boy, the Trump team, we're going to have to walk this one back. Trump stepped on another landmine again. Then have a guy like Bill Clinton or John Kerry just lying to me. Well, he looks the part. Damn the part. Give me the real substance. Hopefully all that made sense. Sorry if I went down the religious road, but I tried to tie all back together.
Yeah, the dopey thing about this whole Heritage Foundation, you still see people doing that. They did it at the DNC.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it doesn't really stay, the Heritage Foundation has been around since the Nixon administration. And I think it gained more traction during the Reagan administration. And basically, anti-communism, pro-business, small government, dealing with deficits, that sort of thing. But over the years, I just don't think anybody ever said that, you know, a certain president wrote it or was going to completely adopt it until mm-hmm. now. And so that's the piece of this that they basically a lot of the media took the bait.
Yeah.
Because the truth is they had nothing. They had nothing to run on.
Yep.
They had horrible candidates. They had failures. They had a failed economy, you know, just a nightmare.
Yep.
And especially with this immigration issue. So what did they glom onto? Oh, the Heritage Foundation. You know what I mean? It's just so stupid.
It's always one boogeyman, right? First it's Trump, and now it's Elon Musk. Now it's Latino men are against women. They should be in the kitchen. Every time there's a success for a Republican or for Trump, they've got to find who's to blame for that happening, as opposed to looking themselves in the mirror. Terrible candidate, terrible message, failed policy. You don't have to go looking for homophobia or transphobia. It's right there on the wall. The nuts and bolts you're failing at. So you don't need to look for option 13. It's options 1 through 5 as to why the Democrats failed. And guys like Carville are talking about it.
Speaking of evil, this mother on TikTok, this is cut 3, Sean. This mother calls her sons who voted for Trump evil.
Oh gosh.
Why do the if you have this family dynamic where you're you think that he's the Antichrist and blah 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 blah. Like, why are you broadcasting it on TikTok?
Mm-hmm.
Cuz you're mentally ill.
Thank you.
Right.
Like, it's just everybody airs their dirty laundry with everything.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
I mean, trust me, we all, and I'm guilty of it as well, putting out too much information, but I do feel like when you're a host or a personality, it ingratiates yourself with, you know, the audience. They want to connect with you.
No, or not. I'm kidding.
But like this nonsense of like random person having meltdowns over who's elected. Like I hated the last 4 years on many fronts with policy and failures and this and that. But like I never like went on Facebook Live and shattered my television. Right. Like I saw somebody throw like a sledgehammer through their TV. Like, what are you doing? Are you that out of control? Come on. Sean, I don't even know if I believe some of these.
Sean, do you have cut 3?
Let's go.
Cut 3 there. I see you scrolling. I see it.
Now, what are you guys starting? All these people on the YouTube chat are saying, I don't trust Rubio.
Here's a problem that I have dealing with my MAGA sons.
MAGA sons.
They get very, very offended if I say that I think that they are ignorant to some things. Because of their support for this rapist and felon. But here's the thing. I have two choices when I try to understand why they would support an abhorrent human that goes against every value I try to instill in them. Here's my two choices. I can believe that you are ignorant, or I can believe that you are evil. Ignorant is the kinder choice.
Okay. Well, it looks like mom's not happy with her boys. I'd love to know how old the boys are. Are they 22? Are they 30? Not sure. I would just never allow. It's happened in my wife's side of the family where there's like serious family disputes over politics. Mm-hmm. I am never going to allow politics to divide me from a family member that I like and or love, right? Like, to me, it's just silly. You disagree, that's fine. You know, there's two different people out there that can vote for Donald Trump, and you can understand both of them. There's those that love him and vote for him. Those that don't care for his antics and still vote for him because they believe he's the better choice for their bottom line. So why is that so hard to understand, appreciate, and respect? Like, if those two sons went to mom and said, look, mom, so she has two boys, right? Yeah. Let's say, I love everything Trump does. He's the greatest thing since sliced bread. I'm voting for him. Mom loses her mind. And then let's say son B says, yeah, mom, I get it. You know, he's got some baggage. I'm not saying I'd want him to, you know, marry my daughter. But you know what? I had more money in my pocket. I'm draft eligible. I'm not going to end up in World War III. And, we had a secure border and crime was lower. Is that a reasonable reason to vote for somebody? I would say yes. It's a reasonable reason.
Yeah. And you know what? She is the reason she's on here on TikTok or on social media is because she's lonely.
And her husband hates her.
Is the husband in the picture? Is the man in the picture?
I have no idea. I'm just wondering.
So here's, I guarantee this. The reason she's on there is because her boys, her sons, they're not visiting. She's alone. That's what this individual, I feel sorry for her and I feel sad for her that because, she's angry and she's hateful and she's alone. So she and her, the dad have split up. Her sons, do they even call? How often do they call you? You're lucky you know how they voted. Did you find that out from social media that they support Trump? Because I bet you they don't even call you. So you know what? Get off of the internet and make a nice, really, the nice meal, their favorite meal, and invite your sons over.
Yeah.
And cook for them.
Everything needs to be on Twitter.
And have a nice conversation or go out to dinner, whatever. But don't allow politics to separate you from your family.
It's really not worth it, right?
No.
No.
But she's a lonely individual. And it has nothing to do with politics. She's blaming the politics. It has nothing to do with politics. She's a miserable, lonely individual. And she should look in the mirror, get some help, and try to get back with her family.
Yep. We should break for Sean.
All right.
We have it all under control. So yes. I just spoke to him. We should be good.
Polymarket has it at 99% that we will pull this off error free. And we will do that on the other side. Sean Farish, a.k.a. Donald Trump, for the first time since the electoral victory.
It's amazing.
Almost a week ago already. Yeah. Hard to believe a week has gone by.
It is.
Farish coming up next.
You know, when we talk about privacy, security, and oftentimes in the news, I find myself talking about these issues about, you know, we talked about it earlier, about the issue of making sure that your home is safe and secure, getting those security cameras. But too often, you know, people will not even hesitate to go out. Maybe it's the coffee shop. Maybe you're getting your hair done. Maybe you're at your kid's game and you think nothing of going on your phone. And even though it tells you this is not a secure connection, you think, oh, what could possibly go wrong? And so I can tell you that I have been hacked before. I have been identity thefted twice in my life. And nowadays, if you think about it, because of social media, we're all public people. Do you know what I'm saying here? And so that's why if you want to keep your searches private and out of any data profiles, the government or any types of legal requests, you need to use DuckDuckGo. But I want to even supersize that. Let's go beyond that. Because it's true that every time you search on DuckDuckGo, it's as if you've never been there before. But with the VPN and DuckDuckGo's Privacy Pro subscription service. It is secure. There's a no logging policy. They're not tracking you. They don't store any of your data that could connect you to your online activity. That's just one of the many features that I find I find such peace of mind, really, with the new DuckDuckGo Privacy Pro feature. So this is a 3-in-1 privacy subscription service, helps you protect your personal info from being exploited by those hackers, those scammers, the privacy invasive companies that we talk about all the time. And with Privacy Pro, DuckDuckGo's VPN does secure your Wi-Fi connection anytime, anywhere. They also have this identity theft restoration. So if your identity gets stolen, DuckDuckGo Privacy Pro is going to help you to restore it. And then for the final piece of this, and this is awesome, the personal information removal. I want to remind you that this is for desktop devices on Mac and Windows, whichever one you use. But as somebody who's on the airwaves for years, I will tell you that Privacy Pro gives me peace of mind thanks to DuckDuckGo. So here's what's going on here. Privacy Pro is going to help you remove your personal information from those creepy sites so they can't share it. They can't sell it. Get all of this that I've just talked about, all of this, for $9.99 a month. As my listener, go to duckduckgo.com/1210. You get an exclusive 7-day free trial on me. So just try it. Try it. You're going to like it. And duckduckgo.com/1210. Tell them Dawn sent you.
The NBA is back, and FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is America's number one sports book. Wants you to catch all of the action tonight. The Philadelphia 76ers. Joel Embiid returns against the New York Knicks. I am taking this three-leg same-game parlay for tonight's game. I'm going to take the Sixers money line at +102. Joel Embiid to score the first basket and also to score 10 points. You can put a $5 bet on that, either win $37, or if it's your first bet by using FanDuel.com/Greg, you will win 3 months of NBA a league pass for free. Just go to FanDuel.com/Greg to make every moment more of the season. FanDuel.com/Greg. $5 bet will get you this. FanDuel.com/Greg. 21 and over. President PA. After 3 month free trial, the full price of league pass will be automatically charged monthly. Cancel anytime. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Limit one pass per customer. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Good to see you again. How you doing, sir?
Well, it's great to be back. You know, we were traveling last week, and I just want to say before we get started, you know, we love Greg. He's a highly respected guy, but it's applicable, okay? That's the way we say it. Applicable. None of this applicable. What are we talking about, right? That's crazy.
Sorry, Mr. President.
But applicable, and but we love Greg. He's highly respected.
Thank
He's a great
sir.
Guy, and the ratings are through the roof.
Thank
and, you know,
you.
We have we're doing very well. You know, we won. It was too big to rig. It was bigger than Chris Christie, right? It was a big, big win, and we're very happy about it.
You blew Kamala Harris out in epic fashion. You won the popular vote, as well as sweeping all 7 of the battleground states. How sweet is this for you after what transpired for the last 4 years in your life?
Well, I love the question. You know, you say you blew Kamala Harris out, right? Now, that's not the first time she's ever been involved in a blowout, okay?
That's not right.
And, of course, I'm talking about the first time she ran for president. Yeah. She got blown out, right? In 2020, she didn't get a single vote, but you sick people, your minds are going all over the place. But it's not the first time, or the second time, or the third time, or the fourth time she's been involved in a blowout, has it? No, it's not. But we won the popular vote because we are the most popular person, right? We're the most popular president. We're the most popular person. All of our voters seem to come back from 2020. I don't know where the hell the rest of the people went, right? The Democrats, they don't know where those people went. But it is so sweet. It's the sweetest. It's the sweetest thing the world has ever seen, even sweeter than me when you look at it, which is very hard to do. But it's so sweet, and we're so happy, right, that we won the popular vote. We won the Electoral College. I got my PhD in the Electoral College. Could you believe that? A lot of people, they got to call me Dr. Don now, right? PhD in the Electoral College. And I also got along very well with, we've talked about these people, Australians.
Yeah.
They call me because they threw me out And I came right back. They call me in Australia Danny Boomerang, right? They threw me out, and I came right back with a vengeance.
Yeah.
They thought they had seen enough, but I'm back and heading back to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. We're going to clean it out. We're going to steam clean everything because these people are into very sick things, especially that Sam Brinton and that Rachel Levine, or whatever the hell you want to call it, right?
Yes.
Richard, we call him a different name. But, you know, we have to clean it out. We got to disinfect it and steam clean the whole thing.
Stanley Steamer's on standby.
Especially the Senate. By the way, especially the Senate chamber. You saw what happened in there. We don't want to see it.
Yes, yes.
I heard Lindsey Graham may have been there, too, but we're not going to go there. Softy, Mr. Softy, we call him.
Yeah, indeed. Mr. President, you gained with minority voters, scooping up 33% of all non-white voters. What do you think changed this time around for people of color?
Well, I think what happened was they were watching MSNBC and they forgot to wear. I have them still. It's called the eclipse glasses. Remember these right here? You have to put them on.
He's brought props.
When Joy Reid comes on the screen, you have to put those on, right? Prolonged exposure to Joy Reid may cause retinal damage, itchiness of the skin of face, suicidal thoughts, or explosive diarrhea. And a lot of these and these statements, by the way, have not been evaluated by the FDA, but they've been evaluated by Bobby Kennedy, okay, who's taking over the FDA. But they were watching a lot of Joy Reid. They said, what the hell is up with her hair? Why does she look like Donald Trump? And they remembered Kamala, who was horrible. They remembered Crooked Joe, who was horrible. And they said, we don't want to trust these people. We like the orange guy. We like the guy who got shot. We like the guy who's got a mugshot. We like the guy who got indicted. He's got street cred. These people are horrible people. And they came around because they, too, wanted to make America great again. But they watched Rachel Madcow, and I can't tell her apart from Mark Cuban, the white dude for Harris, right? Well, maybe he's a white lady, I don't know, but he's starting to look a lot like a female, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's looking like Rachel Madcow and Rosie O'Donnell and Keith Olbermann, all women in their own right, and they are horrible people, right? They're horrible people, and they lost. They lost so bad at having meltdowns. And Mark Cuban deleted the tweets. He deleted all of his tweets as if he was never pro-Kamala. He called all the women stupid, then he deleted the tweets. What a stupid. He's a stupid woman in his own right.
So, Mr. President, by the way, Donald Trump joining us here on Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210. According to reports, Kamala Harris spent the following amounts of money on celebrity endorsements. Megan Thee Stallion, $5 million. Lizzo, $3 million. Eminem, just under $2 million. And Oprah, $1 million. And there are reports that she blew over $1 billion and still has about $20 million in debts to pay off. You posted on Truth Social in the name of unity for the country that Republicans and yourself would do everything you can to help kind of bail them out. Were you serious about that, or are you just taking a victory lap?
Well, first of all, I have to say this. How many questions are you going to ask me about Kamala with the word blue? Okay? How many times are we going to do that? Because it keeps happening, right? And we're not talking about the color.
That's
we're talking
fault.
About
yes.
the wind,
my
right?
Fault.
We're talking about, you know, they call her Hurricane Kamala. Hardest blowing hurricane the world has ever seen, right? She's a storm. But when you look at it, it sounds like a, remember the commercials, MasterCard?
Yeah.
Megan Thee Stallion, $5 million. Eminem, $2 million. Oprah, some people call her Harpo, $1 million. Blowing out Kamala Harris in the Electoral College. Priceless.
I see what you did there. Wow.
It's a tremendous thing.
Very nice.
For everything else, there's MAGA card. How about that? We love it. We just made a new commercial. We just made a brand new commercial, 1210 WPHD. We're at the cutting edge of innovation. Let me tell you something. I told the Democrats we could get them their money, but what they don't realize is we're going to get it back from Zelensky. You know, that dancing little guy. He's going to. I said we could call him up. We could say, Vladimir, now that we're ending the war, you could give the Democrats the $20 million they need. You know, they gave you a lot of money. And he said, sir, it's gone. I lost it up my nose. I said, oh, what a shame. Unbelievable. So they're going to remain in debt. But if they want their money back, I would help them get it back from Ukraine. If not, they're going to have to do it the old-fashioned way, right? The American people. McDonald's is hiring. I left a spot open. I gave my 2 weeks McDonald's is hiring, and they could always make the $20 million that way. You never know.
Donald Trump with us here on Kale and Company. You said no to Nikki Haley for a second term, as well as Mike Pompeo. But many are out there, including Susan Wiles, Mike Waltz, Lee Stefanik, Lee Zeldin, Tom Homan, Marco Rubio, Kristi Noem. You're filling out your administration quite well. How would you evaluate the way you've put everything together so far, and what's left to come?
Well, we're putting it together like a beautiful puzzle, right? It's called the jigsaw. We love the jigsaw puzzle. And, you know, we have little Marco, Secretary of State, and a lot of people are looking at it saying, what the hell is he doing? It's little Marco, right? So I can tell him what to do and he'll listen. And if not, we say, you're fired, right? We say, little Marco, you little guy, you're fired, right? And we could get rid of him. And he knows that, right? He knows that. But he's going to be okay. Nikki Haley, I call her the Wicked Witch of the West, right? You look at her and she says, I'll get you my pretty and your little dog, right? Your little dog too. She looks just like the witch. She's got that nose and she looks just like the witch. And she's green with envy. She wishes she was in my position, but she looks like the witch. I said, you know, if you try to join my administration again, we're going to drop a house on you, okay? And she said, sir, please don't do that. I said, we're not going to do it if you don't try. So she said, okay. And off into the sunset she went, right? She rode off into the sunset just like Crooked Joe pooped himself off into the sunset, right? He you saw him too, by the way. He had a hard time walking through sand.
The beach.
I'd never seen it before. He almost went down about 15 times in 30 seconds. The ghost of Corn Pop was grabbing his feet. Said, oh, my gosh. He said, I'm going to go down. And you saw Dr. Jill, right? Doppler Jill, she was just watching him. She said, look at this guy. Could you believe he's president? I'm really president, right? You look at Dr. Jill, Doppler Jill. She looks like when she wears the dress, it looks like a severe thunderstorm warning. You see her, and you expect to see Reed Timmer, remember the tornado guy, running down the road after Doppler Jill. Look at that beautiful tornado. But wow. Nikki Haley, right? You look at Nikki Haley. We called her Bird Brain. And that's an insult to birds. I want to apologize to birds. You know, they have a lot bigger and better brains than she does. I love my African gray. Could you imagine if I had an African gray parrot as my press secretary? It would sound just like me, but it'd be a little bird. We could put a little hat. But we're not going to do that. We love to see the good people in the cabinet. And we love to see the bad people like Haley and Pompeo out of the cabinet. They're not going to be allowed in.
You know, when you go back and you think about this election cycle, sir, you had the mugshot, you were shot at, you worked at McDonald's, you're driving a garbage truck. Did you ever envision or imagine 2024, especially from the summer through Election Day, would play out the way it did? I mean, they're going to be making movies and documentaries and books about this with everything you dealt with down the stretch.
Well, we always knew we were going to win, right? But we didn't realize that when they took the mugshot, we call it, by the way, the Mona Lisa of mugshots. Nobody has ever seen a better mugshot, right? You see people with mugshots and they look good. And then you see my mugshot and you say, wow, look at that handsome guy, right? He's a beautiful guy. They call it the Mona Lisa of mugshots. You couldn't have painted a better picture. Even Hunter Biden agrees. You could not have painted a better picture, right? He's trying to paint it right now. But the Mona Lisa of mugshot, you have getting shot, as you said. McDonald's, right? Nobody's ever done a better job. I won Employee of the Year after 15 minutes. They said, sir, you're doing so well. You made the golden potatoes. You put so much salt on the French fries, but everybody loves that, right? Except I heard they're levying another indictment for too much salt.
Oh.
You fixed the ice cream machine. You fixed it. It's used to be broken. I came in there 15 minutes. We fixed the ice cream machine. So we did so well. And the garbage truck, we took out the trash. We took out the trash like nobody's ever taken it out before. And our beautiful orange vest, they call it the orange man in the orange vest, right? It was a beautiful thing. But we always knew we were going to win. And we won like nobody's ever won before. When you look at it, the popular vote, when you look at 312 electoral votes, that's more than we got against Crooked Hillary, which is crazy, right? We got Nevada. They said, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, except if you're a Democrat, you get kicked the hell out. So we won Nevada. No taxes on tips, no taxes on overtime. We did very well. We're very happy that we did very well. And now we can get back to work to make America great again.
Sean Farish, Chef Donald J. Trump. Trump, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, how good is this? I mean, seriously. I'd rather, this is better than the actual real Donald Trump. It's certainly better than that bozo on Saturday Night Live. Good stuff, buddy. Good to have you back. I want to just start with kind of your reaction on the winning side with Trump, losing side with Harris. We'll get to the day one deportations. We'll get to the cabinet stuff in the 9 o'clock hour. But let's start with looking back on the Trump campaign, the strategy they deployed, the podcast they did, the different stunts, so to speak, the theatrics. How close to a perfect campaign were they able to execute, in your opinion?
Yeah, I thought they did well, right? I mean, it's hard to argue with the results. 312 electoral votes. You know, you would have liked to see maybe some more down ballot unity in these elections, but nothing will ever be perfect. It's really cool that Pennsylvania flipped the way it did. And Nick, when I was in the studio with you, you told me about Northampton County. So at our watch party here in Tennessee with Congressman Andy Ogles, that's all I was watching. They said, why are you paying attention to such a tiny county? I said, you don't understand. This county has predicted the results of Pennsylvania three times, all but three times since 1912. They said, oh my God. So we started watching Northampton and we had a great time. You know, I think it was as close to perfect as you could hope for. I mean, when you think about what this guy has been called and put through, right? Not just the mugshot and obviously, you know, people trying to kill him. That's really bad. But when you talk about the media ever since, you know, January 6th, but even before that, you know, calling him a Nazi, a threat to democracy, a traitor, a fascist, a white supremacist, a racist, a misogynist. I mean, every single name in the book. You have Letitia James in New York, you know, with these ridiculous judgments. E. Jean Carroll. I mean, if anybody believes that, you probably believe in a lot of other things that can easily be debunked. And I don't want to say it, you know, on the air because we don't want to ruin things this time of year. But, you know, it's like, honestly, the what they threw at him would have taken out anybody else. I could firmly say that. And that's not like to disrespect a guy like DeSantis. I respect the hell out of him as a governor. But I just don't know if anyone else in this political atmosphere, in this political universe, would be able to stand up to all this, or would they just throw their hands up in the air and be like, I'm done. I want to go back to my life where I can, you know, live on my beautiful properties and play golf every day. This guy just kept getting up and kept fighting. And he's coming on 80 years old, and he's just, I mean, what, five rallies in the last day, ending it in Grand Rapids at 2 a.m, dancing all over the place. The Trump boogie is now the, you know, it's a TikTok trend and a dance trend that's taking over college football. I mean, this is ridiculous. And the NFL, this is ridiculous. It was about as perfect as you could run it. So no complaints from me about the Trump's campaign. I don't think anybody would be, you know, I mean, critique's fine, mm-hmm. but any actual complaints, I don't think they're warranted. I mean, how could you have done a better job?
Yeah, I agree. You know, conversely, on the flip side, when you look at Kamala Harris, and I know the totals have come in, Trump's up to 78 million, Harris at 76 million, which is a little bit misleading because Trump swept all seven battleground states. He gained from last election of 4 years ago at 74 million. And then you look at the electoral map and you color code it red and blue. The red is just spreading like a virus across the nation. And it's a little drop of blue here, a little drop of blue there. It's coastal cities on both sides. It's, you know, San Fran and LA and San Diego and, you know, a little bit of the Jersey Shore and New York City and a little bit of Atlanta. But I mean, you go 312 in the Electoral College, almost 80 million. He wins the popular vote. You keep control of the House. You flip the Senate. The Supreme Court has a conservative majority. I mean, Kamala Harris, it just seemed like she was, and I know she got 70-some million votes, but it seemed like they emphatically rejected her to the point where even abortion and Roe v. Wade couldn't carry the day for her this time.
It's so nice because, look, abortion and Roe v. Wade, to much to Kamala Harris's credit and unfortunately to her dismay, was, you know, fortunately for her, I'm happy she lost, by the way, but that was her number one issue. You know, when I would listen to her speak about the economy, she didn't know what she was talking about. She couldn't speak passionately. I'm going to build an opportunity economy. No one knew what that meant. All right, let's be honest. Okay, we could look back on that now. Nobody knew what those words meant. But when she spoke about abortion, there was passion. You know, if I was somebody who cared about that issue, I would have been invigorated by that message, listening to Kamala Harris. I don't care about that issue, and I don't believe, not that I don't care about it, I'm actually very pro-life, but I believe the Supreme Court got it right. It is now a state issue, and anybody on either side of the equation who wants to make a difference in that arena has to do so at the state level. Stop looking to the federal government to solve all of your problems. The one-size-fits-all approach is never the right approach, in my opinion, right? And a controversial take? That comes down to voter ID as well. I do not believe the federal government should assume the power to mandate that every state uses voter ID. Do I believe it would be good for election integrity? Yes. Do I believe, though, it could set a bad precedent for the federal government going forward when it comes to how much control they have over each state's election process? I do. I think states' rights are important to separate from the federal government's rights. So, I think it's all got to get done at the state level. If you want voter ID, make sure you get it implemented at your state level. It's got a better chance of being implemented statewide than it does at the federal level anyway. You see the gridlock. If you have a problem with abortion one way or the other, get it done at the state level. Don't be lazy. Get off your rear end and get involved. I've been involved every single day for the last 4 years, since 2020 up until now in two different states. We want something done. We get friends together and we try and get it done. If we fail the first time, we come back a second time and a third time until we get it done. Right. So when it comes to abortion, that was her most powerful message in terms of the way she was able to deliver it and speak on it. And unfortunately, killing babies and aborting pregnancies doesn't get the cost of food down in the grocery store. And that's what a lot of people were looking at, right? Not everybody in this country is going to get an abortion or wants to get an abortion, but everybody in this country needs to eat and go shopping and make enough money to afford to live, right? And so that wound up winning out at the end of the day. Her messaging was terrible. She was not a good candidate. She was not a genuine candidate. The fact that they had to pay millions of dollars to get these high profile people to get to endorse her shows you they didn't actually want to do it, but the paycheck was too big, right? I mean, $5 million for Megan Thee Stallion to basically have a glorified seizure on stage. I mean, can I do it? Please, I'll shake my rear end on stage for $5 million.
I might have done it myself.
I'll even give you a pay cut. I do it for $2 million, right?
Yeah, baby.
I mean, 50% discount. Hey, I mean, I'll do it, right? I mean, what do I have to do? What's a guy got to do around here, right?
Yep.
So it just shows you the caliber of candidate that they had, and it was not a high-caliber candidate at all.
I agree. Sean Farish will stick around with us in the 9 o'clock hour and get his thoughts on Tom Homan as the new border czar, and also we'll break down the Trump administration, all the selections so far, what Sean likes and what Sean does not like so far. That's all still ahead, 9 o'clock hour on the way, as Sean stays with us here on Kale & Company.
Are you ready to take off to paradise once again? The Italian Riviera, this time on a gastronomical event, the only conservative tours, can deliver. And if you join me last year in Italy, you know what I'm talking about. I hope you join me this time for 11 luxurious days with the professionals from Conservative Tours. They are the best tour operator, hands down, in Italy. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, Portofino, Rapallo, Santa Margherita Ligure, Tuscany, and the brilliant Cinque Terre. $53.78. Yes, that includes your airfare, dining events at the wineries, so much fun in Tuscany, even an authentic farm visit to see Parmesan cheese being crafted by hand. Just call toll-free 888-733-9494. Every single day, somebody else texts me, so thank you. The latest are Barbara and Bruce, who went with us last time. They've just signed up. I know some of you are still making that game time decision, but this is booking up fast. You can also go to conservativetours.com and scroll down at conservativetours.com. You'll see the itinerary, some of the pictures of some of those hidden Italian villages you've never seen, like Giacomo Puccini, San Gimignano, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, Florence, and Milan. And then we'll conclude on the Lakes region with Bellagio, Orta, and Isola Bella. I can't wait. Please join me next spring in Italy. I'll see you in Cinque Terre, conservativetours.com. Tell Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale & Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.